Little relief for nervous shareholders.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for joining us as we continue with Fallout, our coverage of the financial crisis. The Dow started the morning having lost about 1,600 points in 6 days. So far, at least there's a pause. The NASDAQ is up about 13 points, the Dow down 12, and the S&P 500 down about 3 points right now. The SEC's ban on short-selling financial stocks expired at midnight last night. Short-selling is when an investor tries to profit from falling shares. The idea was that this was hurting share prices and adding to nervousness, and a temporary ban would give the market a timeout from that kind of activity. Money manager Bill Fleckenstein says the ban didn't help.
It did nothing to solve the underlying problem, and it did no more good than if you gave a Band-Aid to a cancer patient.
I talked more with Fleckenstein about his outlook for the economy and his ideas for some solutions. Here's a hint, they're not what the government is doing right now. You can hear that entire conversation tomorrow on Marketplace Morning Report. There could be more help for banks on the way from the Treasury Department. The New York Times reports this morning that Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson may be eyeing an ownership stake by the U.S. government in some struggling financial institutions. Treasury officials say the $700 billion bailout plan passed last week by Congress would allow this. What would such an ownership stake move mean? Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson has the story from New York.
Anton Schutz is a portfolio manager at the Burnham Financial Services Fund. He says it's pretty clear Secretary Paulson wants to exercise his new authority and take an ownership stake in struggling banks.
My guess is it would be very similar to the types of structures that Warren Buffett just did with both General Electric and Goldman Sachs, where it might be a preferred with some sort of warrants to be able to buy shares into the future.
If the government does buy preferred shares in U.S. banks, there are major concerns. Number one, banks may be hesitant to accept such assistance for fear it will reveal weakness and scare other investors away. And number two, says Cornelius Hurley of Boston University's Center for Banking and Financial Law,
this would be a massive shift in our capitalist system.
Hurley says it would also raise questions about how much control the government would have over bank operations. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
As financial turmoil shakes the globe, the World Economic Forum has released a survey rating global banking systems. And as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports, you don't have to look too far to find the world's soundest banks.
In fact, all you have to do is run for the border, the northern border. According to the survey, Canada has the strongest banking system in the world. The World Economic Forum polls business execs and then ranks the banking systems of 134 countries. The U.S. has failed banks, and massive bailouts didn't do much to inspire confidence in our system. Our country's banks came in at number 40 on the list, below Estonia and Namibia. Christopher Thornburg is a principal at Beacon Economics, and he says American banks just borrowed way too much.
All of these banks leverage themselves up to levels they've really never been at before. I mean, that's certainly what got them in trouble and what makes our banks look so delicate.
Thornburg says Canada may not maintain its perch for long. The country has been dragged down by the struggling U.S. dollar.
You know, I never really thought of Canada as the financial capital of the world.
For the time being, though, Canada shares the top five banking systems with Sweden, Luxembourg, Australia, and Denmark. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the American Public Transportation Association, helping America go green. You can calculate your carbon savings at publictransportation.org. By Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by Gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about business at Gather.com.
Now it's time for the next stop in Marketplace's series, Road to Ruin. Marketplace's Amy Scott is out on the American road. Today she introduces you to a small business owner in Cincinnati who's taking a direct hit from this financial crisis.
Hearing Morton MacArthur list the merits of this 96 Toyota Land Cruiser, you can tell he's a natural salesman.
If you look up on Consumer Reports, these are the ones that they'll say that, you know, if you can afford the gas mileage, it's one of the best vehicles in its class.
MacArthur owns Mort's Imports in Cincinnati. It's a small used car dealership. MacArthur used to work as a finance manager for a large dealer. He was the guy who helped customers get car loans. But he had so many fights with salesmen over customers with bad credit, he took a different approach to his own business.
So when I started this up, I thought, you know, I don't think I'm even going to mess with it. I'm going to direct people to go to their own banks, credit unions, get their financing if they can, fine. But if not, for most of these cars, for $5,000, go to grandma.
The strategy worked great for about 3 years. But then the housing market took a dive. The economy slowed down, and credit from the bank or grandma started drying up. To stay in business, MacArthur hasn't paid himself a salary in months.
I'm losing money paying my advertising and staying in business, and I want to stay in business, and I think used cars are going to do good. But at the moment, very few people that can afford a car are willing to make the decision to part with the money to get one.
MacArthur has one thing going for him. Many dealers have to borrow money to buy the cars they sell. MacArthur doesn't, but he says he's had some friends in the business go belly up because they couldn't keep up with their loan payments. At the end of another day, MacArthur zips up the bag with all his car keys for the night.
And we'll put them back here in the safe.
He's optimistic about the car business. After all, he says, no one's come up with a real alternative to driving.
It's going to eventually come back. All I need to do is just withstand.
He figures he can withstand another 6 months living off his savings. But if the business doesn't come back by then, he'll have to close shop. In Cincinnati, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
We'd like to hear your story, too. Let us know how you're dealing with this slowdown when you visit us online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. Enjoy the day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.